Stuff Just Read It podcast.
Marcus Smart is so good. Hayden. Brown. Got it. Shot a three.
Hello and welcome to the Celtics Reddit podcast. My name is Ben Vallis. Thank you for joining us. Hope you're doing well. Very excited today to kick off round two of our Celtics Trivia Bonanza, this time the Northern Conference Finals, the winner of which will face Joe in our grand final later next week. You can still catch round one of our podcast feed, on our podcast feed rather, if you missed it. But in the meantime, let me introduce our two contestants. First, we know him very well by now. He joined the pod right at the end of the season there, but this is his first trivia episode. Jason, aka Celtics J, welcome back, sir. How's it going?
It's going well, Ben. Happy to be back. Excited to do some trivia. Hopefully I can show well for the other fellow local fans here in the immediate area.
Yeah, man, the expectations are high. The pressure is on. We'll see how you do. The questions are hard. But also, very happy to welcome Mike, aka Wayne Spoonie, from the Celtics sub, who's going to be joining us on an ongoing basis, we hope, but is making his podcast debut here for some trivia. Mike, welcome, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I really appreciate you guys having me on. I like that it's already presumed I'll be back, so let's make sure I don't ruin that as we go. Like Jason, I'm a little concerned after having listened to the last episode and seeing how hard those questions were. So goal for tonight, don't look like an idiot. Let's see if I can, you know, reach that very lofty goal.
Looking like an idiot would be par for the course on this podcast.
So don't worry. If you are, right, like do it with some style. Like that's going to be the goal. Like if we're going to flame on this, we're going to do it with some style.
Stylish idiocy. That's how we do it here on the pod.
It's like behind the back pass that goes into the crowd. Like, yeah, right, look cool.
That's right. Yeah, respect the attempt. Well, look, right. Wayne Spoonie, Mike, you have been crushing it on Celtics Reddit for a while now with your detailed, in-depth write-up. So we're very stoked to hear that you wanted to join us here on this thing for a regular chat. We'll unpack more of that in future episodes, we hope. But for now, Celtics Trivia Bonanza, round two. There are no rules, but here are some very vague guidelines. Five rounds, five questions per round. Some questions are multiple choice, some are not, but I'll cough up some options if you're struggling to answer. 1 point per correct answer, but there are sporadic bonus questions worth 2 points. And the last round is the rapid fire Phil Pressey round, where correct answers are worth 2 points. And this round has 10 questions. And just to clear up some confusion from last week, the Phil Pressey speed round, is not all about Phil Pressey. It's just that the speed of that final round and Phil Pressey's legendary on-court speed are somewhat synonymous. So just wanted to clear that one up. Guys, any questions before we get started?
Nah, man, this is going to be the wild, wild west of trivia.
It is, yeah. Yep, get those holsters loosened. Is that the term? I don't know. I haven't watched enough westerns, clearly. Let's just very quickly get a buzzer check. Jay, hit that buzzer for us, please, mate.
I take you a fanny right out of the ball game.
Awesome. And Mike, just test your buzzer out for us, please.
I love Walter!
All right, perfect. Just very quickly, massive thanks again to Reddit user Big3for3 and Burner for Design for their trivia questions and ideas. Brilliant stuff. I could not do this without them. So really thankful for those submissions. All right, let's get into it. Round one, general Celtics trivia. Question one. Every Celtics fan knows the legendary Johnny Most, but what phrase was raised to the rafters by the Celtics in honor of him when he died in 1993? Got some options here. Is it Most, Mike, Headphones, or Radio Celtics? Waiting on those buzzers here. Most, Mike, Headphones,
or go. Wait, Most, Mike.
So
or is that two different
those
ones?
Those are two separate options, yes.
All right, we're off to a good start, then Mike.
You are correct, absolutely.
All right.
So moving on, question number two. What was the first season the Celtics did not win a championship in the 1960s? Was it 1969, 1968, 1967, or 1965?
I take you a fanny right out of the ballgame. Right,
I'm going to go with the obvious and inappropriate guess of 1969.
I thought that would be alluring to some, but unfortunately, that is the incorrect answer.
Womp, womp, womp.
Mike?
This is a complete guess. 67.
You are correct. Ding, ding, ding.
This man's on fire.
All right, yeah.
Both of those
He's
are
on fire.
Guesses,
He's on fire out of the gates, so he takes a quick 2-0 lead over Jason there. Bonus question. Which team won it all in the 1967 season?
The Lakers.
Incorrect.
Damn.
The St. Louis Hawks.
No, incorrect. Close. So no points awarded for that bonus question. So that season ended with the Philadelphia 76ers winning the NBA championship, beating the San Francisco Warriors 4-2 in the NBA finals, ending the Boston Celtics record title run at 8.
I'm having an identity crisis.
It's still early even in the first round. So we got a long way to go. I'm loving it though.
Millennial fans like me just...
I refuse to acknowledge any Sixers championships anyway.
So. Right, yeah. Mm. Question 3. The Boston Celtics famously had a dominant run through the 1980s, culminating in the near-perfect 1985-1986 season led by the Big Three of Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, and Robert Parrish, who led them in scoring in that order. Who was the fourth leading scorer on that 1986 Celtics team?
I love Walter!
Mike.
Oh.
Danny Ainge.
Incorrect. He was the fifth leading scorer on that team. Jason, it's your opportunity to jump in here.
I'm trying to remember the years in the 80s there and the rosters, because it all blends together, because when I think of it, I think of it as one large chunk.
I'm going to throw out the multiple choices here. Danny Ainge, who we've determined is not it. Bill Walton, Scott Wedman, or Dennis Johnson?
Oh, I'm going Dennis Johnson then.
It was DJ. Correct.
So just for the sake of trying to save some face here, and so that people, you know, I don't know. But in my mind, I'm like Cedric Maxwell or DJ. But then I was like, again, because I'm thinking early 80s, right? When Cedric was a big, you know, piece of that team and everything. And it just blurs together. And again, my father, he's not ever going to talk to me again. So I got to make sure he doesn't get a hold of this podcast.
Tell him to skip this one. All right. Question 4. What NBA Finals record is held by Bill Russell?
Well, he's won the most of them.
So it's like a single game stats.
Most rebounds.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
So
it would have been. It probably would have been blocks if they had recorded them back then.
Yeah. Yeah. You're absolutely right. So it was rebounds in a single game. 40 twice. 1960 against the Hawks in overtime, and then 1962 against the Lakers, not in overtime. So just like 40 rebounds in a regulation game. It's insane.
That's madness.
Another bonus question. There is one other active single finals game record held by a Celtic, a past Celtic. What is the record and who is it held by? I told you these would be hard.
The record is
active. It hasn't been broken. Okay. So the record still stands today. I can tell you what happened after the year 2000.
Oh.
Rondo most assists.
Threes by Ray Allen.
Yep, that's
correct.
It
was threes by Ray Allen. Yep. Well done.
That's it.
All right, a couple of bonus questions early here in the first round.
At me. What?
So that actually ties
that's a tough
the game.
One too, because we got mixed feelings about Ray Allen after he left. So it's like you don't want to remember that, but you got to remember.
Yeah, I don't remember having mixed feelings at the time. I remember feeling very, very positive about that experience. Okay,
right. But then when he left, you had like those mixed feelings about Ray Allen when he's going and winning championships. I'm sorry, we don't have to talk about that. Like raise the good vibes.
Well, it's interesting. Like talking about his Heat tenure there, he also has the record for most 4-point plays in a finals game, but he did so with the Heat. So there you go.
That dude was so good.
He was so good.
Oh, he's underrated at this point, but yeah. I don't want to digress.
Well, you had those bone spurs in his heels, like so late in his Celtics tenure there, which I think kind of sort of detracted from the overall tenure there with Boston. But yeah, good times with Ray Allen there. Question 5. In 1978, the Celtics were involved in an unusual transaction after the NBA blocked the team's owner, Irv Levin, from moving the franchise to where? I'll accept a state. In fact, the answer I have is a state. It's a state.
Is it New York?
No. Other end, other side of the country. It has many, I think it has 4 NBA teams in it.
I take you up standing right out of the ballgame.
California?
Yes, correct. Sorry, that hit was way too easy.
That was generous.
Okay, so that's the end of the first round.
Like, so just as far as it goes, like I understand street cred wise, like that doesn't give me any. Like I get it.
It's all right. This is under protest. No big deal. No, I'm just kidding.
So, yeah, he wanted to move the team to his native California, and instead Irv Levin and John Y. Brown, the owner of the Buffalo Braves, traded franchises. So
that's what I was thinking of. I knew they traded. I just thought that's where he wanted it originally. It was Buffalo.
I had no
Rich
idea.
Rich people are weird, man.
They are. They're very strange.
That is a fact.
So coming out of round one, Jason has the lead, having successfully answered that that generously hinted question to end the round. And, of course, the bonus question worth 2 points there. Going to go on to round two. This is current roster trivia. Question one. Marcus Smart has two nicknames listed on Basketball Reference. Name one of them.
I love Walter.
The Cobra.
Correct.
Smarf.
You are correct, sir. Smarf is not one of them. The other one is Wolverine, which I'd never heard before.
What?
Yeah.
That's got to be a college nickname or
something,
right?
Yeah, I don't know. I've never heard anyone call him Wolverine before, ever.
Nope.
Question two.
I might start.
It's not never too late. Question two. Which current Celtics player has played for the most other teams? Is it Al Horford, Jabari Parker, Luke Kornet, or Evan Fournier? Al Horford, Jabari Parker, Luke Kornet, or Evan Fournier?
It's Jabari Parker.
Correct. I think Mike Wayne Spoonie got in just slightly earlier. You might have to blame the latency of your hotel Wi-Fi there, Jason. I don't know. We have no rules established for network latency.
I'm going to have to pay for the Wi-Fi next time.
Give us both a point.
Oh, stop being so nice about it. I stole a point in that last round. You get this one. That's fine. I get it.
All right. Fair.
All right. Question number three. Grant Williams' mother, Teresa Johnson, is an electrical engineer who works for NASA. His father, Gilbert, is a jazz artist and former college player who has worked as a bodyguard for which famous 80s musician?
Oh.
Wow.
I've got multiple choices. Is it?
Please.
This is just stuff you need to know as a Celtics fan.
I love so it. The choices I love are this.
Prince, Lionel Richie, Whitney Houston, or Michael Jackson? Waiting for those buzzers.
I love Walter!
Mike.
Grant seems like the type of guy whose dad grew up loving sick guitar solos, so I'm going Prince.
You are correct.
Solid. That was solid. Solos. I love that.
That was complete luck.
All right, Wayne Spoonie is starting to add a bit of a margin here, so we'll move on to question four. Jason Tatum is the godson of which retired NBA player? Is it Tyronn Lue, Mark Jackson, Vernon Maxwell, or Larry Hughes?
I take you standing right out of the ballgame.
Mike.
Larry Hughes.
Oh, I think we both buzzed in at the same time there.
He got it. He got it.
Okay.
He got it.
Oh, I didn't. We'll give that one to Jason. It is Larry Hughes, but you did articulate the answer there sooner. So we'll give that one to you on a technicality. So Larry Hughes was Jason Tatum's father's high school
technicalities
and college teammate. Tatum is also a cousin of former NBA player and current Los Angeles Clippers head coach Tyronn Lue. I had no idea.
Yeah, well, that's I got it a little mixed up there. I was like, wait, which one is that? And so
yeah, threw it in there as a curveball.
That's a real good one.
Thank Celtics Wikipedia page for that one. Question five. At the end of his rookie season, Jason Tatum joined which historic player as the only rookies in playoff history to record 10 games of 20 or more points scored during their first playoff runs? Was it Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Wilt Chamberlain, Alex English, or Magic Johnson? Kareem, Wilt, Alex English, Magic Johnson.
I love Walter!
Mike.
I'm going to go, because it seems like the non-obvious one, Alex English.
No, it's... All right. Yeah, I put that... I thought maybe people would, like, overthink it and choose Alex English. I was right, and that is incorrect.
Correct.
Jason, you've got an opportunity to answer here.
It's consecutive.
Let me read the question.
Just,
so
yeah, please.
So, rookie season, Jason Tatum joined which historic player as the only rookies in playoff history to record 10 games of 20 or more points scored during their first playoff run. So, it doesn't have to be consecutive.
Magic Johnson.
Incorrect. So, the two remaining. Anyone can jump in here. Buzzers, please. So, it's either Kareem or Wilt.
Kareem, then. It's Kareem.
Oh, I have to give that one to Mike. Well. He was in with the buzzer quickly.
I was going to say Wilt, so whoever
You were going to say Wilt? Okay, well, yeah. Jason, you've got the correct answer there.
There we go.
Okay, that is the end of round two, the current roster in which we discussed Prince and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, so I don't know how current that was. Mike, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, to Jason's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Close game here, 6-5.
I'm over here just yelling stuff out.
If you beat me, you will see a Venmo request for $20.
All right. Round three, GMs and presidents. So last week we had a coaches round. GMs and presidents seems like the natural progression to that round. There's only so much coaching content you can cover. And with that, question one, Danny Ainge was appointed GM of the Celtics in 2007. How many people had held that position for the Celtics before Ainge was appointed? Was it 1, 4, 6, or 8?
I take you upstanding right out of Jason. The ball game.
Four.
Correct. You are correct, sir. It was Walter Brown, Red Auerbach, Jan Volk, and Chris Wallace. There you go. It can be confusing. I had to sort of like triple verify this because there's GMs, there's presidents, there's a lot of different actual front office roles that are all kind of confusing, and some of them seem a little superfluous, to be honest. But
and then Pitino had a weird like designation to what his like ultimate role was in the organization.
Yeah So exactly, so he I think was the president of basketball ops and like basically operated within the confines of the GM role but was technically not the GM. So anyway, that mm-hmm. ties the game 6-6. So getting very spicy here. Moving on, question two. In the 1970s, Red Auerbach starred in a 28 episode series on a local network in which he talked about basketball. What was the name of that series? Was it Red on Round Ball, Red's Corner, Rebounding with Red, or Auerbach's Answers?
I take you up standing right out of the ball game. Right?
Round Ball with Red.
That wasn't an option. I'll give it to you. I'll give it to
Red
you.
On Round.
Yeah. Sorry, I shouldn't be so pedantic. Yeah. It was Red on Round Ball. Round Ball on Red. Same thing.
Yes, you should.
All right, that's the go-ahead bucket there for Jason. Bonus question. This is worth 2 points. Red Auerbach's tenure as GM in 1984. Sorry, I've written this poorly. Red Auerbach's tenure as GM ended in 1984, but he continued on as team president until what year?
I love Walter!
Mike.
93.
Ooh, close. It is the 90s. You've got one attempt to answer this, Jason, and then if you're incorrect, we'll just move on.
So I'm thinking it's gotta be before they...
Shot clock is winding down here.
All right, I'm gonna go 92.
Oh, incorrect. It was 1997.
Was it that late?
Pitino,
yeah,
when Pitino took over.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. From Red Auerbach to Rick Pitino. There you go.
It's quite, I had faulty logic on that one.
That's all right.
Faulty logic.
They're bonus questions, you know, just throw them out there and see if anything sticks. We'll move on. Question
three. That's my lifeblood, Ben. That's my lifeblood.
You are thriving off the bonus questions.
I need the bonus.
Question three. Chris Wallace became the Celtics GM in 1997, not the president, the GM, and went on to infamously trade which future NBA star? Was it?
I take you up standing right out of the ballgame.
Jason.
Joe Johnson.
You are correct.
And Chauncey Billups. Yeah.
So,
I think it was
Pitino who did Chauncey Billups. So, it was Joe Johnson. Yeah. So, Wallace made a trade deadline trade with the Phoenix Suns.
Can anyone
Suns.
Think of a good trade that Wallace did? Like, I mean...
No.
Okay.
So, but this particular trade, he traded...
But yeah, the Joe Johnson one was like the heartbreaker. That was crazy.
Yeah, it was... Joe Johnson for Tony Delk and Rodney Rogers, among others, which would help the Celtics to their first Eastern Conference Finals in over a decade. But the trade became problematic over the long term when Johnson became a major star with Phoenix and Atlanta while Rogers left the Celtics after Wallace failed to sign him to a contract extension. Okay, question four. One of the many retired Celtics numbers is in honor of a past GM. Who is it and what in particular is their number retired in honor of? Is it Red Auerbach, Walter Brown, Dave Gavitt, or Jan Volk? Red Auerbach, Walter Brown, Dave Gavitt, Jan Volk.
My father's going to kill me.
I can tell you the number that's retired, if that helps at all.
Probably not, but let's go for
it. It's number one.
I think, weirdly, it's Walter Brown for some reason.
It is absolutely correct.
Well done.
And thank you. Do you know like why they retired the number? Or, like why they particularly have retired his number and no other GMs? We'll still give you the points.
This is morbid, but did he die?
No, but he did. He was founder of the Celtics. So he founded the Celtics.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. He is the architect, I guess you could say. He founded the Celtics in 1945. Moving on. Question five. Two past Celtics presidents had multiple separate tenures as Celtics presidents. One of them was Red Auerbach. Who was the other? Was it Walter Brown, Lou Pierre, Rich or Rick Gotham, or Jack Waldron? Walter Brown, Lou Pierre, Rich Gotham, Jack Waldron.
It was presidents?
Correct. Two past Celtics presidents had multiple separate tenures. Two goes at it. Two goes at being president. One of them was Red Auerbach. Mike.
I'm going to say Walter Brown.
Incorrect. Just had that one go of it. So, Jason, that leaves Lou Pierre, Rich Gotham, who I believe is the current president, and Jack Waldron.
Pierre.
Incorrect.
Yeah.
It's two more answers. Anyone can dive in here. Just call it out if you know it.
Gotham?
Nope.
The other guy.
I think fairly to the listeners there, we're not going to award any points for that question. If we whittle it down as a team to the correct answer, I don't think anyone is getting out of that with any points.
You had to come at that with that, like that Tommy, but the other guy.
So we've got Mike on 7 points. We've got Jason on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 7 to 8. My tallying system is very not technical at all. Apologies to the listener.
Listen, this is starting to turn out like that final, you know, that the Milwaukee game last night.
Oh, it's a bad call at the end of the game.
Yo, there was some. All right, we don't have to digress that much. I'm just saying.
Are you about to
game.
Swap me into next week, like Giannis?
Round four. Celtics modern history. So I call this modern history because it's from 1987 onwards. 1987 was the year I was born. Hence, in my mind, this is Celtics modern history. Question one.
Millennial history. Here we go.
Sure. In the 1987 Eastern Conference Finals against the Pistons, how many punches did Robert Parrish land on Bill Laimbeer's face before he was pulled off him? Was it 1, 2, 3, or 4?
I take you standing right out of the ball game.
You both buzzed in at the same time there.
Jason had it before. Maybe
okay.
Before.
Jason, it's all you.
3.
You are correct. It was 3 punches. And
that highlight is ingrained.
I'm glad.
Had I had to protect go back the and hands, it. Man. You had to protect the hands.
Yeah, this was one of the questions submitted by Big 3v3, and I watched the clip, you know, just to verify the intel, and I had to watch it a few times to be sure. The cadence of the punches is unusual, to say the least. Like, first there's the big one that, like, Laimbeer goes down, and then as Laimbeer's falling, there's the quick, like, ba-ba, like, the quick one, too. Like, I don't condone violence, but, like, fuck it, it's Bill Laimbeer, right? Like, one of the most punchable faces. Yeah. Well done. Straight to, like, you just knew the amount of punches as well. So that's very, very impressive. Question two. What 7-for-1 deal trade constitutes the largest number of players traded for a single player in league history? Mike.
I accidentally buzzed in, but I think it's the KG trade.
It is the KG trade. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Well done.
Touché.
I had some extra notes here on that one. Yeah, so the KG trade, Al Jefferson, Ryan Gomes, Sebastian Telfair, Gerald Green, Theo Ratliff, cash considerations, Boston's 2009 first round draft pick, top 3 protected, and the 09 first round pick, which Minnesota traded to Boston in the Ricky Davis, Wally Szczerbiak trade of 2006. So it's actually 8 if you include the cash considerations there. But bonus question. Throwing out a bonus question here. What major award did Kevin Garnett win that had never before or since been won in franchise history?
I take you up standing right out of the ball game.
Defensive player of the year.
You are correct, sir. Well done. Moving on. This is a who am I? Question 3. I was born in November 1968 in Jacksonville, Florida, where I attended Bowlers High School. I was a first round draft selection by the Celtics in 1990. I would go on to name my son Anakin Walker as an homage to the Star Wars character Darth Vader. In 1998, I was traded to the Toronto Raptors along with Chauncey Billups. Mike.
Is it D. Brown?
It is D. Brown. Yes, well done.
So I didn't get the answer, and I feel horrible about it, but I will take the consolation prize that I got to meet D. Brown at a restaurant that I managed some years back, and he signed my chef coat.
Oh, nice.
He is awesome. One of the most, like, legit, cool, low-key dudes in the world. Like, just a genuinely wonderful human being, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, I figured once reading that he named his son Anakin Walker, like, must be like a pretty chill dude. So
he's a real one. Like, you know, like, that's a real one.
Yeah, so he was also named to the 91 NBA All-Rookie First Team after playing all 82 games in his rookie season. He led the NBA in three-point field goals and three-point field goal attempts in 98-99. And the final clue there, which is the obvious one to give it away, was the dunk contest victory there in 1991. So well done. Question four. In 2013-2014, or in the 2013-2014 season, two Celtics recorded triple-doubles. One was Rajon Rondo. The other was who? This might be a throwback to the last episode. So
what damn year was that?
So this is after Rondo goes out with the ACL tear in that season. Or was out? Mike.
This seems like a dumb answer, but is it Jordan Crawford?
Yes, it is Jordan Crawford.
Yes. Oh, the Jordan Crawford Reclamation Project. Yes, that's right. Damn.
That is going to be a Jordan Crawford reference in all of these, which is sort of a shout out to Jackson, who is the world's biggest Jordan Crawford fan. All right, that actually ties the game at 10. And this is the final question of the...
Got a spoonful of drama on this one.
Oh, absolutely. A Wayne spoonful.
I'm in for all spoon puns. Let's do it.
All right. Final question of the second last round, round four. The Celtics have the 45th overall pick in the upcoming NBA draft. In 1987, the Celtics drafted Reggie Lewis with the 22nd pick, but also had the 45th overall pick. Who did they draft with the 45th overall pick in 1987? Who doesn't know who they drafted in the second round in 1987? Come on.
Did they have three rounds back then, too?
I think they had more than that. But I'll throw some options out to you because it would be cruel to just like throw that question out into the ether. The options are Brad Lowhouse, Dirk Minifield, Greg Kite, or Darren Dave.
I take you standing right out of the ballgame.
I think Mike might have just got in there slightly earlier. Mike?
Brad Lowhouse is the only name I've ever heard, so I'm going with Brad Lowhouse.
It is indeed Brad Lowhouse. He was drafted 45th overall and went on to play like 11 seasons in the NBA for the Celtics.
I thought you were about to say 11 minutes. I'm like, oh, yeah.
No, he played for more than 11 minutes. He had a pretty successful NBA career. So, I mean, with our 45th overall pick coming up in this draft, we can only hope to be as lucky as those who drafted Brad Lowhouse back in 87. All right, so that makes it 11 to 10 in favor of Mike. So we're much closer than we were at this point in round one. So we're now moving on.
If America's good for anything, it's drama.
Absolutely. Right? I grew up watching American TV. I know what you're talking about. Round five. Should we stop here and take the pulse, guys? You know, it's close here. How are you guys feeling heading into this pivotal round five, this Phil Pressey speed round where every question is worth 2 points?
I'm terrified.
Seeing a lot of shaking heads here.
I feel like the points I have are by like the skin of my Celtic fandom teeth. So it's like, I don't know what to expect right now. Some of these are like really clever, like deep dives into just niche topics. The kudos to the folks that were helping generate these questions because they really try to evoke it out of you. And it's all I can do is say, you know what? I gotta get back into my Celtic history books and get right for the next season. But there's still time for me to show out here, so I'm gonna give it my best.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm in the lead based on what I would call pure luck. At least
slightly stronger Wi-Fi as well. I think
that too. The Wi-Fi has really helped.
It's a factor. Yeah.
Yo, I'm not gonna do it though, because if I were blaming the Wi-Fi, it'd be no different than blaming the refs, right? And I'm not doing that. I'm not gonna go there.
Jay's here playing an away game. He's on the road there in Milwaukee, so it's tough. It's tough. The crowd's counting down as he puts up these free throws. Round five, the Phil Pressey speed round. Question one: on July 15, 2015, exactly 6 years ago today, which undrafted point guard who was signed after a promising summer league 2 years prior was waived by the Celtics?
I love Walker!
Mike.
Phil Pressey.
Yes, it was. Snuck in a full pressing
you
comment.
Son of a bitch.
It was always going to happen. Question two. Who is the oldest rookie in Celtics history? This is recent. Think like last 5 years. No longer plays for the Celtics. And has Mike.
Kelly Olynyk.
No. Incorrect. More recent than that.
Sammy Ogilvy.
No, even more recent than that.
Shit.
Yeah, they played on the team last year. And they no longer do.
Wanamaker.
Mike. It was Wanamaker, yes.
That's tricky.
Oh, no. Oh, oh.
And with these,
wow.
With these two
that's
point...
That's like one of those answers too. Like once you hear it, like, how did I not? What?
That's tricky.
Well, with these 2 point answers here, Mike is starting the streak ahead. Currently 15-10, but we're only 2 points into the round.
He's hitting
two
those,
questions
those
into the
late
round.
Fourth quarter threes.
That's
right.
Right.
Just raining them down on me.
Question three. Name the three FIBA Hall of Famers who have played for the Celtics.
The what?
The three Hall of Fame players who have played for the Celtics at some point.
I mean, there's more than three.
Allow me to clarify then. Yes, it's the FIBA International Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, go ahead,
okay.
Mike.
Dino Raja.
No.
Okay, I'm done.
I'll throw out one of them. One of them is Shaq. And then Jason.
So I'm going to assume one of them is Larry Bird.
No. This is a tough one.
So it wouldn't have been one of the American players.
They are both American players. They are both African American. One is an old timey player, think like Celtics inception thereabouts, and one played in the last sort of 10 to 15 years. Mike.
Ooh, okay. The 15 years threw me off. Bill Russell.
Yes, that's one. There's one more.
KG.
Correct. You are correct, sir. All right. Bit of a tough one there. The FIBA thing really throws a spanner in the works, but we're going to move on. Question four.
I feel like I lost all credibility on that one because I messed up on the question. I messed up on the answers. Like, this is a drowning that we're watching it over.
I said Dino Raja, so I don't think you can be too tough on yourself.
But we've got two American guys on the call, so of course we have to throw the FIBA International B-ball question out there just to check the pulse.
They did that on purpose.
Question four. In game one of the 1985 NBA Finals, which Celtic went 11 for 11 from the field, including 4 for 4 from three? Was it Larry Bird, Cedric Maxwell, Danny Ainge, or Scott Wedman?
I love Walter!
Mike.
Danny Ainge.
Incorrect. Larry Bird, Cedric Maxwell, or Scott Wedman?
I take you up standing right out of the ballgame. Right?
Cedric Maxwell.
Incorrect.
Damn. All
that right. Leaves... two people. Anyone want to dive in here with the right answer?
Wedman.
It was Wedman. It feels unfair to award that, but we gotta give the correct answer points. I think that one basically fizzled out, so we will not award any points there just to keep it interesting. So it is currently 17-10 as we move on to question five of this pivotal round. Who were the first two Celtics players to have their jersey numbers or names retired?
I take you up standing right out of the ball game. Right?
Jay.
Russell.
Shit is right. It was in the early 60s.
That would have been too easy, you know. I should have known better.
Mike?
Kuzi?
That's one of them.
Heinsohn.
Oh, so close, but no. Whoever gets his last
Ben's
name,
so
I'll award the points to. So Kuzi was one
like,
of them.
I wanted you to get
Losi?
No.
Okay.
They've got their first name is two letters.
I take you up standing right out of the ballgame, right?
Oh, Jay is really cutting out there. He's got a face like he knows the answer. Sorry, Jay, you're back. We've got you back. Did you have the answer there?
I don't have the answer.
Okay. I'm going to award 1 point to Mike for the partial correct answer, getting Bob Cousy there. The other was Ed McCauley, and they were both retired in 1963. Number six, Jason Tatum has...
I would not have got that.
Me neither, to be honest. Wait till we get to the finals. That's when the questions are going to get really difficult. Question six, Jason Tatum has two listed nicknames on Basketball Reference. One of them is just J. The other is what?
I take you up standing right out of the ball game.
Jay.
Taco J.
You are correct. Seems somewhat qualified as a fellow Jason to...
Let the record show that I am flexing right now.
All right, he's back in it. It's currently 18-12. There are four more questions remaining, so anyone's still in it. Question seven. Four Celtics players have won the NBA MVP award? Bob Cousy, Bill Russell, Larry Bird, and who?
I take you standing right out of the ballgame. Right?
Jay.
Dave Cowens.
Correct. Absolutely correct. 14-18. He's nipping.
My father might
here.
Talk to me this Thanksgiving though.
Interestingly, one of the nicknames that for Dave Cowens on Basketball Reference is Dave the Rave, which I thought was interesting. Question
that
number.
Man was a menace.
Absolutely.
He liked to party.
He did, clearly. ahead of his time as well, raving in the 70s there. Question number 8. Tony Allen infamously tore his ACL and MCL in 2007 by doing what?
I take you up standing right out of the ballgame. Right?
Jay.
Dunking.
I will accept dunking. The full answer was attempting a dunk after the whistle. One of the all-time boneheaded players in sports.
Yeah,
but he was dunking.
Oh my god. Like, you love Tony Allen, but you hated that. What are you doing?
Well, it's technically correct, so we'll give you the points there. It's currently 18-16 in favor of Mike, aka Wayne Spoonie. We've got two questions remaining.
I'm coming.
Question 9.
Coming.
I'm collapsing down the stretch.
Wayne Spoonie ain't got nothing. Actually,
there is no overtime. Question 9. Who is the only Celtic ever with 2 50-point games in a single season? Mike.
Oh. Jason Tatum.
You are correct. Okay. Question 10. One boneheaded franchise prematurely distributed confetti from their rafters after foolishly mistaking Mike.
76ers.
Partially correct.
Fill it up.
I'll finish the question. So after the Raptors, shit. After foolishly mistaking a two-pointer as a playoff game-winning three, which franchise was this? You were right. And which game of the series did this occur in?
Three.
You are correct. All right. Wayne Spoonie, Mike, hell of a debut on the podcast. You've come in here and you've won 22-18, I believe, to 16, rather. So very close battle. Jay's face is frozen. I don't know if that's just sort of the ill-stricken look after a loss or if the Wi-Fi has died. But fortunately, it lasted right up until the end of the final round there. Jason, are you back with us?
I switched to my phone's hotspot here, so what did I miss?
You missed Mike winning the game, unfortunately. He did come out and win 22-16 in the end, just rifling off a few correct answers there in the very pivotal Phil Pressey speed
Listen,
round.
Coach kept me on the bench. I'm like Devin Booker right now. Listen, all right, I'm just saying.
I think a word of warning to Joe and Mike, who will both be appearing in the finals. Don't be in a hotel. Make sure your Wi-Fi is solid before you join the finals, because it's like lacing up a bad pair of sneakers, really. Like, you need that arch support. Congratulations, Mike. Well done. Both of you did particularly well. This was a much closer game than round one, and both finishing in double figures there with such hard questions. Very, very respectable. So, well done.
It's a lot of fun, fellas. I appreciate the opportunity to come on and get extremely lucky.
Before we wrap this one up, guys, I mean, Team USA have been playing. Jason Tatum has been playing. I'm kind of going out on a limb here, but is any thoughts? Obviously, it's a slow news week, month for the Celtics, but, you know, what's sort of going on in your heads as far as, you know, just general Boston Celtics land is concerned?
Well, I don't think there's much to be read into what's kind of going on with Team USA right now. I don't know that there's anything happening that's really going to be earth shattering, other than it does seem like Tatum is really leaning into spending as much time with Ime Udoka as he can. Everything that's coming out and that we're reading right now is that he's pretty much just paired off with Ime Udoka and putting in work. So I like hearing that just kind of gives me a good sense that he's really invested in Ime coming on and being that head coach, and that Ime is excited to be a part of watching Tatum blossom into an even bigger superstar than he's already become. Other than that, you know, the couple of games that I caught were kind of rough to watch as, you know, a guy rooting for the U.S. team, because they just decided they didn't want to run any plays, which is an interesting strategy. You know, just go 1-on-5 each time down the court.
Mate, I mean, okay. When you're playing an international powerhouse like Australia, what can you expect? You know, I mean, we've always been, you know, at the top of the game. I can't even finish that sentence.
They came out swinging. I mean, that's a legit team and they deserve respect, man. You better come on that court ready to play a legit basketball game or you're going to get hit like that. It does look like Team USA woke up a little bit in their last game.
Yeah.
But we're not going to really know until they play, you know, Nigeria and Australia again. So I'll be looking forward to watching those games because both those teams got some phenomenal players on them. I think it does seem like a real positive that's coming out is there does seem to be like more buzz regardless of how successful Team USA ends up being. There does seem to be a lot of nice buzz. People are talking about it. Even like not diehard NBA fans that I've encountered are like talking about Team USA and what's going on. So I think that's exciting just on its own merit. Spoons, what are you picking up on?
So I will say I'm not sure what was more surprising about that Argentina game. That Luis Scola is still somehow playing basketball at a relatively high level.
He's
like
15
or something. Yeah, he is a gorgeous fella. Absolutely. And apparently there's someone named Josh Maggett on the USA basketball team. I would consider myself a pretty diehard NBA fan, and I have never heard of that man before in my life. So when he came out and stroked a three, I was like, what is going on, man? Scola's out here. Joshy Maggetti's out here, you know, burying jumpers. It was just, quite the experience. But I'm not sure how much we can take away from that Argentina game because that team is not what they used to be back mm-hmm. when they had Manu and Young Scola, Nocioni. So we'll see. We'll see. The early returns are not great.
Wayne Spoonie, Mike, thanks again for coming on for your debut. I'm looking forward to having you back on and sort of drilling into some of those deep dives that you've been doing on Celtics Reddit and talking about the Celtics and not just sort of fucking around with trivia. So thanks again, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you guys very much. It was a pleasure. Anytime you need me.
And all the time. All the time.
All right, that's always. Fine too.
Jason, Celtics J, it's nice to see you again, man. Ooh. I hope that Wi-Fi holds up for you and your sort of future online endeavors while you're there in Milwaukee. Man.
Yeah, listen, I'm gonna figure it out. The good thing is I got a new situation moving forward where I'm gonna be able to start charging the high-end Wi-Fi in the hotels on a company card. So we shouldn't have these same problems as we move forward.
Yeah, we'll have to send you the Celtics Reddit podcast corporate credit card and you can charge it to that next time.
Listen, we're getting big time.
All right, that's going to do it for this one. Thanks again to Redditors Big 303 and Burner for Design for helping with these questions. Also again to the debutant Wayne Spoonie. Hope you enjoyed your first time on the pod. We really appreciated having you on and we'll talk to you again soon. And of course, Jason, love your work, mate. Thanks again. We will be back next week to talk some Team USA, maybe some Aussie Boomers if we're lucky. Until next time, go Celtics. Peace.